You're listening to the White Live Fever podcast. This is Stuart Pike from BBC Radio 5 Live. Steve Mascourt is your host, famous all around the world in rugby league, more famous in his own shitter.
Okay, welcome to episode 13. I'm here with Nash and Eddie from Urge Overkill. You've been on tour in Europe, what, for a couple of weeks now?
Right, a couple of weeks. Germany,
Switzerland, Italy, France.
Yeah. And like, how's it, over the last 12 months, you must have had preconceptions about what it would be like to get back together and go out on the road again. Has anything surprised you about anything you didn't expect?
Well, not really. I mean, we rebanded about 7 years ago, and actually we're here three times before, so it's no real surprises. Yeah.
Which sort of territories in Europe are huge for Urge Overkill? And I mean, you were saying before that you played in Paris. I mean, how was that? They're known to be quite reasonably subdued crowds.
Yeah, no, Paris was a blowout last night. Spain seems to love Urge.
There's always the people who come know what we're about. So it's always we've been pretty happy, especially with some of the success in Spain, and we've had some festivals over there where people really know the songs, and having not been around for a while, I'm always amazed how well people seem to respond to the newer and the older material we have.
Is it harder to sort of know now with downloads and stuff, which areas you're selling records, which areas you're popular, what response to expect than it was in the old days?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask. Do you know anything about that?
It's we're just kind of getting back into it, and we'll see. We constantly keep our eye on our side of the equation, where we're just trying to keep the string of good material coming out and do what we do. And in terms of strategically where we go, we've had pretty good success everywhere. We've been able to go to Australia. We've done a little. There's talk of going to South America. There's people who know something about the band just about everywhere.
I read it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I read an interview, maybe it was from a few months ago, where you said that it's the songwriting is sort of the main thing now rather than touring, that it's getting new stuff out there. Now you've been on tour for a few weeks in Europe. Is that still the way you feel, that's your priority?
We function as we always have. I mean, you're either in the studio or you're on the road, or you're on holidays. But yeah.
It's possible to do both. It's not realistic to go out and play 300 days a year or anything like that. So we get plenty of time to tour as much as we want to, and write and record as much as we need to. But the playing a circuit of smaller towns in the U.S. or even over here isn't really something it's not like a old time like a bar band circuit or something like that, where there's bands like us don't really go out and play 300 nights a year, so it's not that. It was when we get to go play shows for people, we consider it an opportunity, and it's like a privilege that to get out and meet people who appreciate the band. I don't know what else to say.
We're going to divide this interview up into three parts and divide it up with music. So we'll start with one song off Rock and Roll Submarine. If you could give us a little bit of a background. I was actually had a question about lyrics. I was wondering, since I heard the record, what was the crime below the Mason-Dixon line, and who are you looking for an effigy from?
Well, Mason-Dixon is
it's a cheesy
just
song.
Yeah, just kind of a story about
You know, most American country music's all about cheating. Almost all of them are cheating songs. That's our cheating song.
Is it based on fact? Or?
It is based on fact. A band member was caught with a cell phone picture that wasn't supposed to be seen by somebody. So.
maybe we'll start with that song.
Nash Cato
and King Roser. We're Urge Overkill. You're listening to White Line Fever.
Okay, we're back with Michael Monroe, and one thing I wanted to ask you about was and you've got your autobiography there, which is now, when's it going to be out in Australia? A lot of our listeners are in Australia. Well, do you have any idea?
I've never been to Australia. I would love to go. You know, I love Crocodile Dundee, you know. I love AC/DC. I always wanted to go.
And your tour manager is Airborne's tour manager as well. He was telling me. So there you go. Do you know Airborne?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just met him. I just met him for the first time today. But Australia, as soon as his book is translated into English, it'll be coming out everywhere there's a demand for it. I mean, really... It has actually. It's a story. It's this story of about my life from the beginning to my birth to. I mean, look at here. Want to see Michael Monroe as a baby? No, this is what I
hope it's not a bearskin rug picture.
Look at that. Who's that? Who is this kid? Look at this sweet innocent little. I had no rush. I was in no hurry to grow up. I was actually drooling like a baby. It was, you know, I'm just a regular guy. My mother wrote this in the beginning of this book. It says my mother wrote a bunch of stuff with me and my brothers, me, my dad, my mom, and my two older brothers. So my mother wrote this piece in the beginning saying, actually, when the summer I was born, summer 1982, 2004. When I was born in 1962, which is the year Rolling Stones were born, and it's the summer, that same summer that Marilyn Monroe died. She passed away about two months after I was born. It was a beautiful, sunny summer, and it was on a Sunday, and the day I was born, it started pouring down rain. It was raining, and it kept on raining throughout the whole summer, to the end of the summer. End of the summer, sky was crying as they lost a beautiful soul down to earth. What the fuck am I saying? Anyways, here we go. Look at there. It's got 500 pages. It's got a bunch of pictures, photos all along, well, the whole story. I just happen to have a ton of pictures with me, Steve Vedder's, all these years. It's all documented nicely. I like to have pictures, you know. Otherwise, you get kind of like, you know, you follow a story and you kind of if you just have like pages and page after page of just reading or writing, you get kind of, sometimes you just like all of a sudden you realize you've been reading it, but you just missed the whole, you're not taking anything in. So in two colors.
I think I have that copy of Kerrang in there.
You do?
Yeah, that one there.
There goes. There's some color pictures too. Nice pickies here. And got some Hanoi stuff. I got my New York stories. When I moved to New York, oh, look at here. Me, Steve Vedder, and Lemmy. Triple threat. What a... that's some presence in that picture. Presence. Heavy, heavy atmosphere. Triple threat between the three of us. What do you... I mean, Jesus. I wouldn't mess with those guys. Here, my debut show, my gig in New York. I live here in New York. Look at that. There's my windows. This is where I lived for 10 years on East 3rd Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. The Hells Angels block. The 4th of July Independence Day party was my first gig as a solo artist in America after I'd moved there in 1987. They had this flag, American flag, and that logo there, you know, above the stage, and yeah, it was one of the coolest gigs. And yeah, so New York, yeah, Demolition 23. My solo years actually lasted, there was a lot longer than Hanoi ever, but with the original Hanoi in the 80s, it's about four almost less than 5 years. The rebirth of Hanoi in 2000 to 2009, those both put together are still shorter in years than the time I've spent solo, which is, up until then it was like 16 years. Anyway, so then here's the story of me from my birth to this day, pretty much, the end of the summer here.
So you're walking down the stairs just to see me just then, right up to the few minutes ago.
Yeah, it's like up until now, up until this interview. Hey, I'm talking to an Australian guy who seems to want to have the book as well. And here's getting closer to today. Here's the new band, and there's the rebirth of Hanoi first. I was gone. I'm looking back at it and going like, yeah, that was good to do. Now we're back here. Got there, and here we go with some of the new shows. We've got Ginger in the band, then we've got Dragon in the band. See? Coming all the way up to this moment. Look at the shirt. Same shirt. It's got can't be too far now. Me and Sammy. Brothers. Look at there. My head bleeding and the Barbados. It's actually a CBGB's. Used to be CBGB's. We did a show there in 2010, and I kept busting my head on a monitor above me like three, four times. The fourth time, it really busted open. I was like blood all over the place, in the spirit of Steve Vedder's and Iggy and all that stuff. It's appropriate. Mm. And look at that. I have my own star in the Walk of Fame in Turku, where I live.
Cool.
Right? Normally, they give them to people who actually were born in Turku. I got one even though I was born and raised in Helsinki. And these stars, you can't buy. Like in Hollywood Boulevard, you can buy. If you pay enough money, you could buy a star for yourself. This one you have to earn.
And you're going to the presidential, the presidential dinner? Is that right, in December?
It's a party. That's like a gathering, an annual. Every year it happens. There's 2,000 people invited, and mostly... distinguished, older veteran soldiers and all, and people that are, I guess, significant. So, first time ever I've been invited to go and be there. So, it's very cool, actually. I met the president almost about a couple of years ago at a John Fogerty show in Finland. She likes rock and roll, therefore, I love her. She's great. Here's my bike. Look at that. My bicycle is like a Harley, it's like a chopper kind of. A friend of mine's in a Harley.
Have you taken that back home with you from New York?
What, or is it? The bike?
Yeah.
No, I bought it in Finland.
Oh, right, you bought it in Finland.
Yes. So, anyways. And then, the most important thing,
my cats, like four cats from my life. These are the past 3 months. Susie was my cat in New York, 16 years. And here's my three cats with my
current. Susie, as in Susie and the Banshee, spelled the same
Susie
way.
Susie is Finnish and it means a wolf.
Oh, I see.
S-U-S-I.
All right, okay.
There's Gizmo, there's Sippy, and there's the little Missy. She's the only one alive anymore out of all these. But you know, just some shit, you know.
Very cool. Yeah. I was going to ask you something, and it's kind of an Australian reference a little bit. Rose Tattoo probably invented the whole biker rock.
Rock and roll outlaw. Never needed anyone.
Sammy said once, greetings to Angry. Angry says, Angry, I want to lick your bald head. Angry had apparently, he was, oh, wow, yeah, sounds like a cool guy, then, whoever it is. Yes.
So, I mean, they probably invented the biker rock thing, the tattoos, and maybe haven't got due credit for it. Do you feel a little bit the same about the glam explosion? Do you think everyone else talks about your impact? Do you think about it much?
Everyone else talks about it, and they all say, you know, you started this, so you I'm to blame for it. I say, don't blame me for that shit. I mean, if you're talking about the people, all the Sunset Strip scene and whatever, I mean, of course, it's always flattering when someone says, oh, you influenced this and that and made a big impact on something. But to me, personally, I did not relate. I could not relate to that. That kind of stereotype, rock and roll, rock star, sex, drugs, rock and roll cliche. I mean, a bunch of guys with big hairdos, makeup, and who could play their hairspray cans better than their instrument. And they learned to pose and party and, you know, get screwed up and, you know, act like, you know, pretend to be rock stars before they even learn how to play or write songs. So to me, the music, the attitude, and the, you know, being able to play was more important. I mean, I would not have the gall to stand up on stage doing, you know, anything other than if I wasn't able to play and perform and do something, stand there and pose and not really have much substance to kind of back it up with, I wouldn't have the nerve to be up there. I would just, you know, not do it. And to me, it's about music, you know. So in any case, I mean, God bless him. And I think something like Guns N' Roses, for example, that is a great thing to that's a great thing to see that they had they came out and they said Hanoi Rocks was a major influence, but they had their own thing.
Uh-huh.
And they really took the essential, the right things about Hanoi that were influenced by them. They had totally their own thing, and they were the coolest because they talked about Hanoi in interviews, and they released the European catalog on the Uzi Suicide label in America. Just so people would know, I heard Axel just got sick of not having people know about Hanoi Rocks, so they wanted to put them out, and they did, and they actually did something about it. So I really think that's really cool to, that makes me feel good, you know.
Time for another song. What have you got for us?
Oh, well, we got Blood. Got Blood if you want it. How about this? Check it out. Got Blood if you want it. Check it out. The verse, you know, sing along if you like.
Get in the way by causing error. Could ever look like a human machine. You're never privy to the relative. A formal defense is not a second-hand apology. No matter what the populace will lead you to believe, you propagate the best of men. Now you want the rest to make the blade grain clean. Later stand up on the ashes in a token of amplified aggressive animosity that nobody would ever see without a common enemy.
Make your show. what's up? This is Scott Ian.
This is Rob Caggiano of Anthrax, and you're listening to White Line Fever.
Welcome back. This week's show's probably just sort of been dumped on you, really. You got Urge Overkill without any warning or explanation, and then Michael Monroe, that interview conducted on his tour bus in Wolverhampton after a show where he was opening for Wednesday the 13th. I think that's how you say it, the fella from the Murder Dolls. But anyway, we're here now, thanks for tuning in. I'm sorry, the 13th program has come 2 weeks after the 12th. It's just a really busy week since Darren Lockyer's great farewell, with Australia comfortably winning the Four Nations in that final against England at Elland Road. And before the program finishes, we're going to hear from Darren Lockyer in his very last interview as a player. I just happened to grab him on the way out of the stadium. He was still in his shorts, signing a few autographs. And the interview you're about to hear is very short, and it's very informal. But I was able to use those quotes in The Australian the next day, so I was just a bit lucky, ran into him, because we were told that he wasn't going to be doing any more interviews. Coming up for me in the next week, lots of gigs, very busy. Alter Bridge and Blackstone Cherry at Wembley Arena. Cheap Trick and Deep Purple, the 38-piece orchestra. They were playing at the O2 Arena. And then heading up to Sheffield for Little Caesar and Taiketo on separate nights at the Corporation. And then in Islington on Sunday night, Ace Frehley. And that's all before next week. Hopefully next Monday I'll be posting a whole new show, and you'll be hearing a bit more from Michael Monroe and also from Urge Overkill. Not much rugby league in this week's program, but we did have a lot of programs during the year where there was only rugby league and not much music. But the news today is that the World Cup, 2013 World Cup, will be hosted in four countries. So France, England, Ireland and Wales. And I think that's good. In fact, I'd be happy if there were even more European countries hosting games. I know some people think England shouldn't be giving up matches, but I suppose the 2000 World Cup was overly ambitious with games in too many development areas. I think they've got the balance right on this occasion. I am The Real Stevis on Twitter. That's THEREALSTEAVIS. The main website is stevemascord.com. One word, stevemascord.com. And the site for this program, whitelinefever.ning.com. Been doing some great stuff there recently with live feeds, webcasting of events, so keep an eye on that. Hoping to really build on that site over the next few months. Okay. Darren Lockyer's last interview is coming up. Then a new song from DAD, Last Time in Neverland, off their new album, Disneyland After Dark. And then the best, we call them IDs. That's when someone says, hi, you're listening to White Line Fever, I'm whoever. Michael Monroe wouldn't just do that. He actually went upstairs on his tour bus and got his harmonica and wrote us a little jingle. So we're going to finish the program with that.
I mean, I was, I wouldn't say I was worried, but I was about the guys being injured and crook. It was more, I think we were always determined. No matter what happened, we had everything covered. Mm. It was a good thing that JT and Matt Scott got through their fitness test this morning, and GI was right. Mm. I guess that boosts the confidence of the team. But at the same time, I think if they weren't going to be there, we were ready for that.
Yeah. And the goal, mate, I know he just asked you about it.
Yeah, mate. I haven't done any goal kicking practice for a while, and it's old. I've kicked plenty of goals over my years, but that one just didn't work.
One memory, mate, from tonight, and I'll leave you in peace.
One memory?
That's out in your mind.
It's hard to pinpoint one, but I think I remember when we ran out, and the national anthem for both countries were being sung. I've never seen that many England flags just waving. I've played here a few times, and that's probably the best atmosphere I've ever experienced here at Elland Road. So it was a great night. Trees from falling. I tell the birds how to fly.
I got a white line fever. Going to run land down under. Going to turn around the corner way down yonder. And I'm not even going to try to rhyme anymore. Michael Monroe here for White Line Fever and Dig, Michael Monroe Sensory Overdrive, the album, the band. You get a chance, come and check us out live. We're going to rock your socks off and whatever, rock like fuck. That's what I say, okay? Come on down and rock on.